There's an area about an hour west of us here, which is called the Flint Hills. It is the largest remaining contiguous Native American prairie left in the United States. And it's rolling hills, and it's called the Flint Hills because literally it is hills, big hills, but the underneath is Flint Rock. And it's gorgeous. It is just, it's treeless, which sounds kind of crazy, but it's where they feed cattle in the springs and summers to fatten them up to go to market. You have to see it to understand it.
Welcome back, everyone, to this yet another amazing expert speak session with iSchool Connect. As always, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest joining in all the way from the US, who's going to talk about a wonderful institution that she represents, and that is Ottawa University. Right, today we have Mary Lou DeWall joining us from Ottawa University. Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you so much for finding the time and sharing your precious insights with our audience today.
Oh, more than happy to. We always love to talk about Ottawa.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Mary Lou, you've been interacting and engaging with students for over three decades. Tell us about your history. How did you come across this interactive journey or is this engaging journey of yours working with thousands and thousands of students?
Oh my, it started long, long time ago. You're right. I'm working almost on four decades. So I'm telling you how old I am in an indirect way, and that may not be so good. But long story short, my husband was an electrical engineer, and his job brought us to the great state of Kansas.
Right.
And my undergrad degree was in marine biology. Now, I don't know how familiar everyone is with maps of the United States, but the oceans are here. Kansas
right.
is middle. I was very far from an ocean, so I had to go back to school and basically kind of start all over. So like many of your students, I had to go back and reassess my career and my degree and go back to school. And all that in a long, long way led me to Ottawa University. At the time, we had a program at Southeast Asia locations in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Malaysia. So we actually at that time had campuses in those three countries. And I was fortunate enough to become a part of that and live and work in Southeast Asia for 17 years.
Wow.
And so that was the start many, many years ago. And I have always said that I am very blessed to have been in Ottawa, because how many people can live in a very small, tiny town in the middle of Kansas, in the middle of the United States, yet get to travel the world for their career? So that was a start. And I'm now the Dean of International Programs and Global Operations here for the university. And based still out of what we call the mothership, which is our residential campus here in the heart of Kansas.
That's a wonderful story. And from a marine biologist to, I'll say, an educator, that's quite a shift. Tell us about what do you love about your role as an educator?
Oh, I love working with students. It's always been the case. It still is today. So even though I'm a dean, and I'm also the dean of the Angel Snyder School of Business, so I have two deanly hats that I wear, I still teach. And most deans choose not to do that. But I absolutely love the interaction in the classroom with the student. I love seeing light bulbs go off. I love seeing active discourse and discussion. And it is very much student centric and all about students, and that's still why I love it.
Got it. I see that wonderful portrait of a horse in your background. Is there a story around that?
There is. So I've always argued and said that I work to pay for my horse habit, and sadly, I think it's true. But I have always just loved horses. I rode on the equestrian team when I was in college, the first time, the original college experience from marine biology. And he, of all the horses that I have owned, I would say is my pride and joy, if that makes sense. So his name, his official legal registered name is Red Road, but we called him Rony Pony because he's a red roan. So Rony Pony lived till he was 32, so had him for a very, very long time. So yeah, he's kind of the special guy. Even though I've had many other great horses, that's it. He's the cool one.
That's wonderful. Tell us a bit about your institution, which has been your home for over 3 decades, or rather 4 decades.
So Ottawa University was founded in 1865. We are affiliated with the American Baptists, but we are a Christian-based university, but we are not a Christian university in the way that most people think of heavy Christian universities. We are Christ-inspired, and so follow tenets that we encourage anyone to follow their own faith, no matter what it is. But I tell you all that because it also ties into our founding, which I think is just a fascinating story. And we were actually founded by the American Baptists with the Ottawa Indian Native American tribe in 1865. Right. And the understanding was, when the school was founded, that is, was if you are on the rolls of the Ottawa tribe, you can receive a free education from the university. So fast forward till today, which is what, 260 years, 200, almost 260, 70, somewhere in there. We still honor that promise today. So at any given point in time, we have between, 40 and 50 Ottawa Native American students in our student population in undergrad or grad. And we actually even have one student in our doctoral program at the present time. So we're very proud of that heritage. We discovered a few years ago, literally the only entity that never broke their treaty with the tribe. So we're very proud of that fact.
That's and an I amazing think, legacy that the institution has carried forward over 200 years. Yeah, that's something to be proud of.
Very proud of it. And I think that speaks to who we are. In technical terms, I think we're identified as a small private liberal arts college. So that doesn't tell you much, but I think our story tells you a bit more. And we have had a heavy international exposure since 1872. Our first international student arrived then from Japan, believe it or not.
Wow, so we've 1872.
Yeah. So even, long time, even with the international exposure. So that's a little bit about us. We have 2 full-blown residential campuses, what I call again, the mothership, the one here in Kansas. Mm-hmm. But then we also have a full traditional residential campus in Phoenix, Arizona, in a little town called Surprise, which is part of the Phoenix metro area. And then we do quite a bit online, and we're innovators in online education before online was online, if that makes sense. So that goes back to the mid-1970s, believe it or not, when we started our adult and online programs. So a lot of mix of different opportunities for us.
Talk to us about the location and perhaps the weather. What should students look for if they're choosing to come to Ottawa University in terms of weather and the surroundings?
So Kansas City, which is where the most international students come to, is our mm-hmm. site in Kansas City. And the weather is definitely 4 seasons. Okay. We get as hot as you do in India, mm-hmm. without a doubt, in the summertime. Actually, in some ways, I think we get hotter, and there is humidity, so you won't miss that. You'll get your opportunity to enjoy that. Winter gets very cold, but with climate change, it's a little less cold than it used to be. The cold period's a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. And then beautiful transition seasons, spring and fall, where it's in the 70s every day. Today, it is absolutely gorgeous outside, and it'll stay that way until we suddenly, around mid-June, get really, really hot for 2 months, and then it cools back off. So you get a chance to experience true 4 seasons, leaves coming on and off the trees. So weather, the saying they always say is just wait a minute, it'll change if you live in Kansas, and that's very much true. The one thing that I have had international students tell me in the past, which I guess you just kind of get used to when you're here, is it is windy. We do have pretty good winds blowing, off and on all year round. So I guess if you're not used to that, it is something different. It's something I think you suddenly just kind of don't even notice.
That's interesting. It's always kite season for everyone.
Exactly. And that's something a lot of people do. So
interesting. Interesting. That's wonderful. Do you have a favorite spot on campus?
Probably yes. And it's not going to be what most people think, but mm-hmm. there's an area about an hour west of us here, which is called the Flint Hills. It is the largest remaining contiguous Native American prairie left in the United States. And it's rolling hills, and it's called the Flint Hills because literally it is hills, big hills. But the underneath is Flint Rock. And it's gorgeous. It is just, it's treeless, which sounds kind of crazy. Okay. But it's where they feed cattle in the springs and summers to fatten them up to go to market. Yeah. You have to see it to understand it. There are wild buffalo still there in certain portions of it, which is kind of a very cool thing as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's just not other places in the world that have that. Is it a gorgeous Taj Mahal or something like that? No, it's, you know, it's grass in hills, but it's a natural wonder that I would tell people they need to go to. And then Kansas City proper, mm-hmm. Again, where the school is located, there's lots and lots and lots to do. People are moving from all over mm-hmm. to Kansas City because of what the living costs are, which is relatively low, comparatively speaking. And mm-hmm. then all of the things that you can do with the access to a city.
Got it. Mary Lou, one thing that caught my attention is when you mentioned that, hey, Ottawa and Kansas City is popular among the international student audience. What kind of support services, resources does Ottawa provide to international students when they transition into their campus life?
So we have a full-blown international programs office that mm-hmm. works with each student one-on-one to make sure that everything from a regulatory standpoint is taken care of appropriately. Right. We pride ourselves on accuracy and getting that done very, very quickly. We have rapid turnaround times. So that would be kind of the pre-thing. But once they are here, between the residential campus staff and the Kansas City campus staff and us, there is a fairly good amount of support provided, but students are on their own more than they are probably used to being in your home country. Right. So it's an educational process to get them up and understanding how to live and study in a foreign country. But we do have quite a number of support services for them. And in Kansas City proper, there is a rather large Indian population community that we introduce students into, and mm-hmm. that has students from other schools around the area, along with there is a rather large Indian population and Chinese population actually as well in Kansas City that sort of take the students under their wing and bring them into their homes for traditional meals and just as a resource so that there's someone in town. And I have to say, there is always a student that has the auntie or the uncle that lives around here. And that house becomes kind of the grounded house for huge populations of our international students.
So it's basically a home away from home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mary Lou, you've been part of the School of Business as Ottawa. Tell us about the School of Business. What can students and our audience look forward to about School of Business at Ottawa?
We have a very solid school. It is ACBSP accredited. And mm-hmm. again, ACBSP accreditation is specific to the schools and to the programs within the School of Business. That's on top of the fact that the university has higher learning council credit, the HLC regional accreditation, which is what you want to look for in any school. Make sure they have a regional accreditation, which mm-hmm. sounds crazy, versus a national accreditation. It's the regional accreditors that are the big kahunas in the market.
Yes.
And then of course the School of Business has the ACBSP accreditation, which tells you that our program has passed stringent regulations and requirements and compliance. The other thing is the way that we set our programs up is very interactive. It is very much practical application between the real world. We do quite a number of internships and placements with businesses And so again, it kind of depends on the nature of the program that the student chooses, how much interaction that is with the outside community. But a number of our faculty that are our adjuncts are in the field, and that's intentional on our part as well. So they have their PhDs and their doctorates, but they are out working in the field in local businesses. So a number of them work for engineering firms like Garmin or Hush Blackwell, which is a large engineering firm here in town, and then they teach for us, things like that. We also have individuals that are in the corporate world, like Walmart Distribution for the supply chain and logistics classes. So it's very much an interactive back and forth between the school. Our coursework, time-wise, though, is different probably than what most school students are used to. We do 8-week terms. So it's very intensive. You only take one course at a time. You are focused solely on that course. And that is intended so that you can pay attention only to that one subject for that one period of time. And so every 8 weeks, there are 6 8s in a year. And then the December month is off as a break. During that particular period of time, that is the only time you're off. Okay. But those 8 weeks are intensive and they roll all the way through the year.
Do you fondly remember any of your students who might have like successfully completed and now doing well? Our audience typically loves to hear success stories.
Oh, sure. So just to give you an idea of the size of our international student population, right before COVID, we were at right about 750 international students. Okay. Heavy population from India. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, very heavy. I would say 2/3 of that were students from India and in China. And then at the present moment, I think I have got almost 100 countries represented across our population. We're down a little bit since COVID, but we did set a record on the residential campus, what I again call the mothership. This year, we broke a record for number of students on the residential campus as traditional residential students. So international is very strong on our campuses. As far as what they're doing, I have students now that have graduated and are working at Google, and that is in the multiples of students working there. Mm-hmm. Amazon, one of my students is the head of logistics for all of Amazon, believe it or not.
Okay.
So yes, we have kids in very important positions in very large companies. A lot of West Coast tech related companies that I can't even begin to pronounce the names, but if you're in tech, you would know exactly what these companies are. Right. I've got kids. We just placed a student from Nepal. Interestingly enough, he is working for a nuclear power plant.
Amazing.
He's doing data analytics for them. So not something that you would ever think to have a student placed in, but his area of concentration was data analytics, and he was exactly what they wanted. He had an undergraduate degree. He was one of our grad students, and his undergrad was in engineering. So it actually makes sense when you look at what he brought to the table for them from his total. So yeah, I can give lists at some point if somebody really wants to know.
All this actually means that you have a robust career services department or center for international students and even for domestic students. Tell us a bit about the career services department. How do they actually help students?
So we don't do things the way most normal schools do. We don't ever do anything the way most normal schools do. So, but a lot of ours is interaction through our alumni rather than through career services. And it's also, again, tying back into the fact that we have been around for a very, very long time. And we have our alums in these schools and in these locations. And so we use that alumni association piece. Mm-hmm. I also will tell you that the students are very good at working into the groups that they want. If they tell us where they're really kind of wanting to look, we can find someone to put them in contact with in that particular entity for the most part. I mean, I don't guarantee everything everywhere, but you get the idea. Right. And so do that way, because that third party introduction is also oftentimes much more effective than what traditional career services does.
Absolutely. No, completely agree with you. It's important that students feel that they have the support. Simultaneously, they need to feel that hey, they need to put in their effort to get through. And you're providing the resources, you're providing them access to alumni. That's something that they can always leverage and go beyond to get the to secure their jobs at these credible institutions, right?
Our students don't really have difficulty if they're in the IT, data analytics, that side of the house, they get jobs. I can say that. We don't really have a difficulty with them getting a position after.
Got it. Tell us something about the cultural and the extracurricular opportunities that students have during something that they can do during their leisure time or while they're off studies.
Well, they can ride horses if they want.
that's an amazing opportunity.
An amazing opportunity. Honestly, pretty much anything they want to do is probably available in some way, shape, or form. The difference with the adult campus sites versus the residential is the residential campus, which is, again, more tied to the undergrad student and what they are interested in. We have 32 sports programs that individuals can join or partake in. There are things like chess club and theater. And in the School of Business, we have DECA, which is a competitive organization. We do case competitions across the United States with our DECA team, and we win. A number of our students that are a little bit more on the research side of the house tend to team with one of the faculty individuals, and they will do case presentations and whatnot at national conferences. And we just this weekend, very proud to say, had one of our students win the National Economics student presentation at the very large economics conference. So we beat out huge schools. And here we are, a tiny, small liberal arts college in Kansas. So we're very proud of that. But honestly, it's kind of what do they want to do? And then I think putting them in touch with the right individuals for what they're interested in. There's plenty to do. The question is they have to step up and decide that they actually want to participate.
Got it. One of your flagship programs, your program in MBA plus IIT always stands out. Tell us a bit about that as well.
So that is probably one of our biggest ones, the MBA IIT. It is one that has been around for about 7 years now. And again, the whole focus and structure of it is designed to get you with that direct practical application work experience, tying it back and forth into the classroom experience as well. That is pretty much the main thing. It's a very intensive program. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-6 split. And by that, what I mean is it is a very unique thing in that it is an MBA with the IT concentration. So you take six what we call core courses, which are the traditional MBA-based courses, marketing, finance, econ, all that kind of good stuff. And then you have six courses in IT. And so you are taking an equal number on each side of the house. Mm-hmm. It is STEM eligible for OPT after the fact because of the way that it is set up. And so your placement afterwards in optional practical training can be for up to 3 years because of the way that the program is set up. So that is our biggest and most popular program in that. We also have an MBA with business data analytics.
Right.
Also is set up exactly the same way, 6-6 split. And that one tends to be one that others are interested in as well.
Does Ottawa offer any scholarships to international students?
Yes and no. The pricing already has scholarshiping embedded in it. Okay. Is the only way I can describe that. But it's not scholarshiping. Again, like I said, we do everything different than everyone else. It's not scholarshiping in the way that most people say, ooh, I got this scholarship. So it is embedded in the pricing of the program in the first place.
Got it.
And that's pretty much the way that we handle that.
Understood. We are heading towards the last leg of this wonderful interview. Mary Lou, do you have any final piece of advice that you would love to give to incoming students or students who are looking to choose Kansas City or Ottawa as their future destination?
Oh, I would just tell you that you will be known if you are at Ottawa, because again, the population is such that we know every one of our students extremely well. You have multiple advisors while you are here. You have an academic advisor, you have a financial advisor, you have an international advisor. And that's not true at a lot of the larger schools. And we consistently have students that have transferred in from other schools say that they have never gotten this level of support and attention at their prior university. So I would say kind of our secret sauce or special ingredient there is that we actually care about you and we want you to succeed and we make sure that you are doing what you should be doing. Parents might like that better than the student, but the bottom line and the bigger point is that there is something to say about a slightly smaller university that has quality educational offerings. And again, everybody's going to tell you that their program is the best. I argue that essentially, if you're doing what you're supposed to do to receive accreditation, the programs are almost equal. You actually need to look at who your peers are going to be around you, who is
Precisely.
your faculty going to be, and make your decision more on that side of the house. And I think you would kind of like us.
Got it.
Yeah.
Whenever we, as iSchool Connect, interact with students, we always give this singular piece of advice, which you rightly mentioned. Look at the institution. Do they actually care about you being there? Does the faculty nurture you and into growing something better? Curriculum, studies, they're almost the same, as you rightly mentioned. But does the institution take that bit of pain to help you grow as an individual? If any institution does that, perhaps that's the right fit for you. And perhaps
That's right.
Ottawa is one of those lesser number of institutions. There are very less institutions that actually truly care about the kids. And perhaps, yeah, Ottawa is one of them.
Couldn't
Perfect.
agree more.
Thank you so much, Mary Lou, for joining and sharing this wonderful session, wonderful piece of advice to the students. I thoroughly enjoyed interacting with you, and hopefully our audience and viewers will enjoy the session as well. And yeah, we look forward to hosting you again, Mary Lou.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, folks, as always, we're gonna have yet another expert joining in next week. So stay tuned and keep watching and keep viewing iSchool Connect Expert Speaks.